Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the session this morning. I'd like to thank Rabbi Shulman and the chairman of the convention for inviting me to make the introductions. Avraham Avinu describes him in describing himself, says, "Vanochi Ofer Ve'efer." In explaining what this means, the Meir Shapiro Zatzal said that Ofer refers to the future. Ofer is the dirt from which plants can grow and flowers can grow and has potential to the future. Afer, the ashes, is a symbol of the past. The wood that has been burned, and these are the ashes, this is the leftover from what has come from the past. And a Jew, ideally, is a combination of Afer and Afer, both the past and the future. But it seems to me that when we discuss this issue of domestic violence, that Afer and Afer are a different type of metaphor. The Afer, the ashes of the past, are a remnant and give testimony to the Sreifa, to the Korban, that has existed when the Jewish community has been unable to be sensitive to the needs of especially women who have been battered, who have been abused in their homes, in Jewish homes in which Shalom Bayis has not been the rule. And the future, the afar of the future, can be mud if we don't deal with it properly. I've had some experience in this area and speaking about it, writing about it, and dealing with in various committees and groups and women dealing with the issue. And there's a fear. There's a very big fear in the community that we're afraid to talk about it. We're afraid to deal with it. The fear of the shanda, the chil Hashem, that may come about as a result of making this issue public. I was at a meeting just last week with people who are involved in this type of work, Jewish people on a national level, and a number of women in different parts of the country, each had the same comment to make, that in dealing with the Orthodox rabbis in their community, that the rabbis are perpetrating evil, that they're using the halacha, they're using excuses of Jewish law to perpetrate evil, that in their attempts just to stymie the issue and the inability to deal with it in the proper way. The truth is, we as Rabbanim are afraid of change, because what will that change bring? And if we get ourselves involved in an issue like this, then perhaps our hands may be dirtied as well. Just very briefly, because Rabbi Tamer I know has to go back to give a shiur, change is not always, sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's not bad. My father-in-law very often quotes his grandfather, Rabbi Yeshua Baumel Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Parshas Lech Lecha. After Avram's battle with the kings, Malchus Tzedek appears to Avram and he gives him a gift of Lechem V'Yayin. So why Lechem V'Yayin? Rabbi Baumel explains as follows. Avraham Avinu was very much afraid that after having this experience of the Melchama, in which he got his hands dirty, in which he was perhaps no different in the battlefield than other people, that maybe Shem Yigram Achet, that maybe things will not go for Avraham as they had in the past. The battle took place, the Emek HaShavim, that he was now equal, he was now the same as the other kings. Melchizedek comes out and he gives him a gift of Lechem V'Yayin. Why? So in Hichus Brachos we know that if you have a fruit, you change the surah of the fruit, you change it, the bracha will go down from a Brepia 8 to a Shahako. There are only two types of food that when they're changed, the bracha, rather than going down, goes up. Right? The wheat is mazonos, but you change it to bread, it goes up to hamotzi. The grapes are ha'et. When you make juice out of it, rather than going down to Shahako, it's elevated to Brepia Hagafin. The Melchizedek's message to Avraham Avinu was, you have changed, but you've changed for the good, you've changed for the better. And that's my hope, that as we hear these speakers this morning, that the type of changes that need to take place will only bring brachos to the Jewish community, to Klal Yisrael, and brachos that will elevate us and in our mission, v'hagdil Torah u'ladira. My privilege this morning to introduce Rabbi Tendler, who needs no introduction to this group. He is well known to all of us for his work in the yeshiva and outside of the yeshiva, as a Rosh Yeshiva, as a professor of biology, as an expert in medical ethics, etc., etc. And so without taking time to talk about Rabbi Tendler, we've come to hear from him.
My focus is the flaw in the educational system. Something is wrong with our curriculum. The Mount Makomos that I prepared, others prepared, should be part of the regular yeshiva education, so that we would never have a problem of a yeshiva trained family ever involved in any kind of domestic violence. You don't find that in the course of life stresses, they suddenly begin to serve pork chops. No, they have Machal Shabbos. No, halachas we're able to sell. The reason we have problems is we don't teach. The issues we're going to discuss cannot be important. That's 8 years of elementary school education, 4 years of high school education, and 4 years of college education. None of the total curricula included this information. But remember, every year you heard that you mustn't touch the candlestick on Shabbos because it's muksa. And by touching your wife, someone else's wife, someone else's reputation, someone else's money, somehow those are the unimportant halakhas in Judaism. So it's not taught. We teach only ikrim. Right, there's a triage in education. You have to choose what is essential and what is not essential. How you can go through a total education and not cover these makolos can only lead to that conclusion that we have no special values to transmit in this area. Therefore, it's time to go back to fundamentals. Remember the Medrash Rabbah, a little further on, Vayeshev, beginning of Perek Pei Hei. The Medrash Rabbah records the tragedy of a dysfunctional family. Achei Yosef sold Yosef into slavery. It can't be any worse. Cain and Hevel story all over again. Brothers killing brothers. The Midrash records the Esahi. Vayered Yehuda Meitav. Yehuda was deposed because he let it happen. How it happened, not discussing. It happened. No excuse to let such a thing happen. So Vayered Meitav. And what did he do there? He went out on a date. So the Midrash emphasizes it. But he basically he Shashvatim hoy osukim b'michir shal Yosef. Yosef hoy osuk b'tzako taniso. Reuven hoy osuk b'tzako b'taniso. Yaakov hoy osuk b'tzako b'taniso. For Yehuda, I also agree to Chloisha. He's the perpetrator. He somehow shared the guilt, maybe more than others. He's going out. Rabbeinu, according to Shemi Shmuel, comments, Yehuda wasn't saddened by this terrible, terrible breakdown of a family. But that's why Yehuda was Zochel Malchus. Everybody collapsed. And Yehuda said, terrible, terrible. What do you do? He could start all over again. So he went back to the first mitzvah in the Torah. He went out to get married. I goofed it the first time, first round. Let's try again. When things are bad, you learn from here. You go back to fundamentals. And our problem, I think, is an educational problem in which fundamentals have been neglected. Let me begin, therefore, with fundamentals. In Parshas Bereishis, Vayikra Adam Shein Ishto Chava Ki Hoysa Eim Kol Choy Moen Tzubis Hoysa Eim Kol Choy L'chaim nosno. the lowly child. It's all the most, the whole quote. I don't know how many Shiva Katanas that teach so many Midrashim. Kids come home now, I can barely read Hebrew, but they come full of Midrashim, some of them from Medrash Kriya, you know. The way out Midrashim. If I can digress a minute, one of my little grandchildren shows up, came to us for Shabbos, and only 3.5 years old, but she's going to yeshiva already. Of course. And she comes with a sheet, right, to ask her questions. Right, she has to say a Dvar Torah, so they have questions. What was the sin of Adam? Actually, I don't know. He ate the snake. What was the sin of the snake? He got eaten. I said, that's what the teacher taught you? He said, no. Teacher said he ate an apple, but apple is kosher. So she figured out he must have eaten a snake. Oh, teach. Teach Midrashim, all kinds of things. Yeah, everything fantastic makes sense. This isn't taught. That a wife was given for what? She's called Ein Kol Koi L'chayim Nosna. Below the tzav. It cannot be that you marry a wife and you have trouble. That's not part of God's scheme for things. But fundamentals aren't taught. So you have such a tragedy that's happening today. The collapse of a family is mentioned in the Midrash on the Yeshiv. But we are seeing the collapse of an individual whom we held in high esteem. I'm referring to Manny Reckman. The tragedy of a personality that's disintegrating begins with Amaratzis, ends up with Sheker. Amaratzis, he publishes at expense an advertisement, right? And quotes a source, which I can't believe that a source, but nevertheless, points out that there are no longer a Kenyan Kedushin with Manager. Impossible, he says. In the light of women's efforts in our day to achieve equality, there is a presumption, a categorical presumption, umden de muchach, that women, if informed, would in no way agree to a Kenyan nature of Kedushin. Consequently, many women seeking a divorce are not halachically married, and perhaps not even midrabbanan. He never heard about a Catholic who will point his religion cannot get divorced, and Catholics get married too. One of them got to make a raya from the goyim. What kind of statement is it? A woman will object to what Kenyan is, and then says, if she knew that it would be impossible to get out of the marriage, she never would come into the marriage. Never heard of Catholics who get married regularly, saying there are more Catholics than Jews in the world. They all get married on the assumption they can't get out of the marriage. Where do you find that you can't get out of a deal if you don't go into a deal? Most deals that people make, you don't get out of. Why does a man write like that? And of course, my own sense of hurt is that these words of Moshe Feinstein resonate in every case. In every case heard by us. And he quotes from Moshe Feinstein of Ezra 1:79. What's Ebenezer 71-79? You all looked it up, I'm sure. What did he talk about? It's unbelievable. Israel was never caused a marriage to be declared null and void on the basis of a man 30 years later falling in love with a secretary. Had she known that 30 years later he'd fall in love with a secretary, she never would have married him. Therefore, it's Kedushei Tos. That's the whole basis for his whole shtick. Right? What's the case of my Shreya talking about? in an ish she'en lo gvuras hanoshim, v'hoi yezeh mikodim hakadushin, v'en lo takona l'shrape, v'abar lo rotze l'garsha u'borach. Man was castrated in his youth. He never bothered telling his wife. It's a minor issue. And she married him, assuming, then found out, and he also, another case where the man spent almost all his adolescence in an institution, had to be institutionalized, and was on maintenance therapy when he got married, and ran away the night of the chasna, ran away. One of a family in our community, in the Swedish community, and they want money before he'll give her a get. So the Shkreel said, let him go jump. There's no kedushin, of course. What's it got to do with the cases that they're hearing now of women who are happily married for 35, 40 years, and then the husband, whatever happens, the marriage falls apart, and therefore it's kedushin tos? Why the shekel? That I don't understand. I know Manny Rack for many years. But that's what happens. That's avera gorera avera. I see it as a disintegration of a personality. That this man should now publish lies for what possible reason? To justify an irrational stand and the stand that he takes on Kenyan, which is the point I like to begin. What is Kenyan? I mean, you people all learn Kedushin. We taught Kedushin 2 years ago in the yeshiva. How do you define Kenyan? So the Torah tells you, I know how Kenyan is. Kicha kicha b'zeyefo. Right? You buy a field, you buy a horse, you buy a wife. That's what you taught. That's how we learned it. You look at the parsha. It tells you what a Kenyan is. What a Kenyan Kedushin is. another 2 weeks, you refresh your memory. You remember Avraham asked for the field for Moras HaMapela. Vitinli Moras HaMapela Shalom, right? What does that Ephron Achiti answer? Bayan Ephron Achiti, yes, Avraham? Lo Adoni Shmaini, Hasodin Nosati Loch, Vamora Shabo Lachon Satir, Leni Bnei Ami Nosati Loch for myself. It's yours. So I don't need a Kenyan anymore. And Avraham insists, no, please, no. Akimato Lushmeini Nosati Kesar Kakmimeni. I want to pay. This was acquiring a field? The acquisition of Ephron, the acquisition of Avraham from the field of Ephron was without a Kenyan Kesar. He got a Bematona. Before Adam, you say, I give it to my son, it's my son. So what is the Torah telling you? The other wanted another Kenyan. Not a Kenyan of acquisition, but a special Kenyan. A Kenyan which had to do with the Brisbane Absalom. To show that Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise to the Brisbane Absalom is being fulfilled on a deal between Abraham and Kodesh Baruch Hu, leaving Ephron out of the picture. Suddenly the Kenyan kept up of Ephron, that's how we taught it in Yeshiva. Well, not a Kenyan of acquisition. That's why it makes sense in Kedushin. Why Kenyan Kesef is Kedushin? Because you don't acquire a wife. It is a commitment for destiny. The idea of the commitment that Abraham wanted was, I don't want you to give me a present. I want a Kenyan which is made on my terms. On my terms is, I want to acquire with money that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me, because this is how I begin the fulfillment of Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise. When suddenly you teach Kenyan that way, oh, I'm not buying a horse and buying a field. Avon didn't buy the field, he had the field. Avon made a declaration on the field that this field is mine unto eternity. And suddenly you have a drasha under the pulpit. The Kesef Kenyan is a Kenyan of for eternity, nothing to do with acquisition. But this is not my Kiddush. I said it that way in class. But you look, the lesson of the Morei HaUma, of the Gedolei Yisrael, who also taught Kiddushin. I gave you a Mokor of Shimshkop, which is classic Yeshivish source material. What does he say? You have the page numbers there? Okay, you look. You're for Leon's page numbers.
Yeah. You've been to my show.
All right. The Kedushin Ika Bemesh Shnei Inyanim. You have it on column 2, on page 118, in the one stack 118 on top on Shibnishkov. Right? Hashachtus Vagam Kinyan. Vem Shnei Inyanim Bemusko. Inyan Akinyan Hu Bemuskwa Kinyanim, Shonam Mitzayre, Bechol Kafesim Aniknim. Sure, there's a Kinyan. And we'll explain that. We see how the Dibri Torah Chashukim B'mokom Echo, the Mir B'mokom Acher. You see how others define. What about Kinyan? You know what Kinyan is he's talking about? The Kinyan that a wife buys a husband to be her slave. That's the Kinyan they're talking about. That he has to work for her. That's the Kinyan aspect. Nothing in that other direction. We'll soon see. Vinyan Hishaktus, who Inyan Acher. That's the Kinyan Kedushin. Who inyan kedusha u perishus inyan hegdish v'kedushus kabonos hamyuchid v'kashmish gavoa. That kinyan, that buying a horse, that buying a field. And he didn't respond because of a problem with abusive families. He had to go and defend the Orthodox position. Look at the language of the Kam Sofa, the next marker I gave you. Got it in a few buying dollars. I better follow you. I don't have. Want to give me another one of those? Okay. You know, I'll have to follow with this. How you put it together? Okay. All right. I have it from the old. You people took it off the computer. I copied from my text. Which one? Where, if I get your attention to it, begins Aptes's Hiksha, right, the second column on the page. Okay? Sure. The end of that paragraph. Alright? Hi, Baal Vaisha Vitrila Zivugam Kalechad Hukona Venikna. Habal Kona Hayisha, Lizak Kaitulaksuba, Upatak Lozen, Vita Bimichirub, who Hakona, Vihad Hadova Hanikna, Luma Zeha, Potin the Dunyal Hasno, Hoish Kona Habal, Yis Mishabelo, but you'll be Bali Isha, Babalu Hanikna Isha. Yakin is not talking on him. If you're not, we now write a prenuptial agreement. If both people have money, they don't go get married. They have to worry about Mr. Malug, Mr. Kumbalzu, Hans, Balsham, and Amish Fokas. You don't worry about such things to talk about. Nobody has anything to talk about. But if you have an estate, when you come into a marriage, I got to settle. There's a financial business got to work out. Rich people don't get married. Some of them. They want the second marriage. They want the Yehusha to go to their children. The Yehusha to go to their children. So there's a deal to make over here. But the Kenyan is the Kenyan of Hegdish, of Kedusha, of Kavanos, a Kenyan of Nitzchius, a whole different view of things. And for someone to say that a woman, Bizman Azel, will object to being bought by her husband, and therefore it's a Kedusha cause, had she known that she's being bought by her husband, she never would have agreed. You bet your life she wouldn't agree. But no, what Chazal ever have such a thought in their mind? They could buy a ship. And that's why I gave you a few Mikolas. You don't need really much more. The next one that I call the attention to is the Marjdam, just for the Lashon. See the majesty of the language in the Marjdam. You know what page that is for you? And page 7, okay. All right. And Mazam, you have in the second column. Find it here. We have Bahar. Where you have it? Bahar. Okay. Before the Bahar, that's no. On page 8. All right. Take you at the end of the first column. Atan Lamadnu, about 10-12 lines up. שאיש משובד לאשתו כשם שאשתו משובדת לו. ועוד נוכל ללמוד זה מספר כתובה שכסוף זו משהו זה. ואנור בשעת השמיה אפלח ואוקר ואיזון ואפניס וחיליחי כבגובן ידון הידו באוקס ובאוקס. מה זה לא יודע? לא אפלח זה הפלח, זה הסלאב. זה אגיפשן סלאב. אגיפשן סלאב וורקר זה הפלח. I've got to check the dig to go. I think most, whether it's not Eflach or Afalach. Most of the people say Afalach, I think. That means you'll be my slave. Eflach, I work for you, not you work for me. So much for this aspect of Kenyan. When I say you must go back to fundamentals, to teach it properly. Now, Kedushin, I think the first time most kids learn Kedushin, they're in their adolescent years in our regular yeshiva curriculum. That's the time to get such a message across. So that's what the Kenyan Ishus is. Kenyan Ishus is enslaving yourself to live up to the achayus of a husband. And then what I have here is a category I gave you is Ishto Kugufo. You didn't put down the give the mama coma to I presented, did you?
Yeah, page 2.
Out my hand?
Page 2.
It's from the back of the
hand. This one. Oh, right. Okay. It's easy to follow that outline that I gave. In Ishto Kugufo, a marvelous way to teach what marriage means. Bahoyul Bosarechod is not sufficient. So they spend the rest of their life arguing which boss. look at the Mishnah. You have it, the Rasha. Okay, the Rasha and the Mishnah in Tchum is Vav Beis. Okay, but a marvelous, simple halacha, no. Bas Yisrael shachot trumah. Bas Yisrael made a mistake. The shogeg, she ate trumah, so she has to pay keren b'chomish. And then she got married to a kohen, so she takes money from one pocket, puts it in her other pocket. She paid the kohen. You know a kohen? I sure am. I married a kohen. I became a kohenis. In halacha, became a kohenis. The halacha is you got to give Kevin the Chomesh to a Kohen. What are you giving it to this woman? She's a Yisraelis. She's no longer Yisraelis. Boyul of Osarechos is Ishto Kugufo. La halacha means she became a Kohenis. Look at the language of the Rash, right? And you underline that I have it here in my thing. The Tumanami Moise Ben, Loise Mechir Vasita Le Kohen, the Nasis Kohenis Benitsu Echo. You have it there?
Yep.
The Nasis Kohenes Benisua, by getting married, she became a Kohenes. And the Chinuch says the same thing. It's Chinuch to Shalashudah, so it was familiar to me. In Mitzvot Beis and Pedir Petach Hamo, right? There it says that she's Petura Mipetach Hamo. She's married to a Kohen. She has independent property. And her donkey gave birth to a firstborn, right? So you had to give it to a Kohen. She gives it to herself because she married a Kohen. What's the thing got to do with her? The answer is the Avolin Trumani Pin Chabol, but Kohen Yeshalo Kedusha Sodia, right? And then Uadin also Aisha's Kohen has the same halacha. If a Bas Kohen is a Kohenis, then an Aisha's Kohen is a Kohenis. The genetic relationship between father and daughter is no tighter relationship than between husband and wife. That's halacha ishto kugufo. You can go into sermonic ishto kugufo, you will soon see machavdo yoshto kugufo, etc. What does it mean? So the halacha tells you what it means. And in the Rambam Hilchos Eidus, I just gave the Rambam, it's the Gemara, we don't go down a level in Eidus, as Rishu, Sheni, Shlishi, Shishi, Beshlishi. A husband-wife relationship, if a husband is a brother, a Rishon, then the wife is a Rishona. She's a Rishon, not a Sheni. Doesn't go drop a level in Eidus. Marriage keeps the level straight. So you remain a Rishon, a Rishon, a Sheni, a Sheni. Why? Mamish a stranger. The answer is, that's the halacha of Ishtetu Gufu. But by us, halacha and morals and ethics don't differ like legal, as legal and moral and ethical. It's legal to get an abortion. It's immoral, you know, as an old professor of mine used to say, if you contract to have your house burned down for insurance purposes and the fellow performs properly, right, then there was here an immoral ethical relationship. Each one did what he's supposed to do. Very ethical, very ethical. If he promised and then to burn the house down and then didn't show up because he did shuva, right, then he was unethical but highly moral, right? In most cases it was an illegal relationship that was being established. We don't have that problem. We have a halakha, is musul, is moral, is ethical. This is what we're telling you. That's what halakha is. It also reflects itself, if she could go through, in what now, Baruch Hashem, more and more common occurrence, where people marry from different edot, where Ashkenazi, Sephardi, they marry, and with all the Ashkenazi Jewish genetic diseases that we have, I spoke about yesterday at a conference, it's a darn good idea to suggest that you marry outside your community and thus dilute out the bad genes that got accumulated over years of inbreeding in the Ashkenazi Jewish community. But you had a problem. You serve rice at the Seder or don't you serve rice at the Seder? As you know, for a good Syrian, not serving rice, not eating matzah is the same issue. And it's the same halacha. No difference. You better serve rice at the Seder. So for an Ashkenazi woman, he tries to say that's an old takona sagonim or whatever the hell it came about, but you're stuck with it, right? Kidney, if the kidney is, yeah, she needs kidneys. Ishtu Kugufa. Suddenly became a Sfardiya. Why is it in that one direction, not the other direction? This is how we do it. Ishtu Kugufa, not Ishtu Kugufa. But why? I mean, interesting. Why should it, what's wrong with her not eating rice? Why do all the posts say, yes, she can eat rice? I mean, kuch nefesh, what's it? So she'll serve rice to her husband and she won't eat. No, it's not proper. She married a Sfardi. You can't have it that she stands there as a, on high moral ground. He's eating chametz and I am not. No. She's supposed to eat rice with him. Doesn't like rice, it's not the meister. But she can't hide behind a halachic chumrah that she's an Ashkenazit and doesn't want to give up her chumrahs. The halach is, she's now a Sfardiya, she's supposed to eat rice because that's proper. And my Shreel Zatzal was always makpid on that relationship, even to a point which is somewhat questionable, where he allowed a woman in Avelus to attend a Sudas. A pseudo, which is classified as sudas mereus, if you classify it that way, I don't know what kind of friendship there is there at a shul dinner or at a yeshiva dinner or a convention. But if the husband is uncomfortable sitting alone, whereby sitting with a wife, it's a heta for the wife to come with the husband because there's a unit that he can't see separating. That's ishto kugufo. They just go together, and if her husband's not in a day, she can also come alone. And by the way, just as a side, my chair can never see the chasana separating husband from wife in different tables with a matisa in between. All his weddings that he made, all the grandchildren, we had families sitting together the way you're supposed to, despite what has become a mamish, a universal standard now. In the Fum community, he said, it's just irrational. How do you do a thing like that? Why should a husband sit alone and eat? He says, Nishbak then. not comfortable sitting alone with men sitting alone and women sitting alone. I don't think Bocchi, I just for your record, just had a motto from a Rishon who says the same thing, the Tashbet, then Kufay and Tes, where he says the same thing. Nosi ish me'an shekila achas ish me'an shekila acheres. And Sotik sheishi nefeles and baila b'chol chiyubo ish to tugufo b'chol advorim. Okay, that's the beginning of the tshuva in Kufay and Tes, the Tashbet. Right. And maybe one of the, to me, one of the really dramatic statements of Ishtu Kugupo, or rather, the unique position of husband and wife, is from the Rameh Simcha, the old Sameah, in Hilchos Nedarim. You have the page? 40. It's one of the branches of saying shulam in the yeshiva. You have to steal shulam from somebody. So you get to find all the good ones. A woman took a neder not to have anor from any bear, any creature, any human being. Well, and here we see her husband not a human being. took a neder not to have any else. The only say they look in the second paragraph. We need it. Right? Yeah, they're not. Avatan ha-perush, ba'al lal b'chal berius. Eino mishum d'shem acher olam. Not because he's a different human being. He's also a human being. Rak shilo osra al asmo, rak haniyo shemahanan oso v'hu shal b'riot. Ava ba'al, hivman shu osa lo malakto, hi osa lo malakto, v'at b'meres, ein zon ben osa, gam ben osa for dvorm shal kibo b'zfukalo le'ono, nimsa chiyov le'ba'al ma shemishubid lo, Mishal atzma ka'achra v'lo u'shal b'riyot. What a husband is going to give her now something. He says, I can't have my koinem shaninena mimeno. Koinena mimeno? He owes me. I just made him breakfast and lunch and I cleaned his house. I don't take anything from him. I take from myself, he says. Whole new attitude. So you know, every now and then you get published. What is a housewife worth? You know? You ask a woman who's not working. So what are you doing? He says, I don't do anything. No, six kids, and he takes care of the house, and et cetera, et cetera. So we want to say, what that's worth. Something to $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year, the contribution that a wife makes to the family, babysitting, et cetera, if you break it up to all the component parts. That's our look, he says. He said, I won't have any anor for him. I don't have anor for my husband, he says. He owes me. I have enough for myself. This is my money that I'm taking back. So if he goes ahead and feeds me, he's not giving me anything. He's paying me for my effort. Look what I did for him. I'm willing to eat with him, sleep with him, etc. That costs money. Again, it's the hashkafa of this halakha that's so critical. And then when someone tells me, in the old days, the women were degraded. They didn't. It's only our generation that the woman is standing up for her rights. What are they talking about? I had a mother, Leah Sholem. I know how my father treated her. I was lucky to have grandparents in the house. I mean, the male member walked gingerly in the presence of his wife. It just wasn't there. Isn't there? It's not part of our lifestyle. How come we're being tarred with the same brush? And why? Because nobody goes back to fundamental and teaches who we are, what we believe in, what are our standards. And we go along and say, you're choosing me, some it's so. But it's not so. Broke it up into little units. The unit I called what does it mean? Right? The Moments of Hedlin and the thing about Persian Yavamas, they gave you both sources, like the Moments of Hedlin and the Flying Bubba Mabay. Ha'oi v'tishu kugufo, v'machabda yoslim igufo, v'mad rabbonu b'notu v'at yishova, v'meshiyan samach atirkon, all of us have said, Omer, v'yadatsa kisholam olecha. All's well and with you. What did you do? You loved your wife, you honored your wife, you taught your children, and got her married off before that ain't enough safe room to say no. So look at Rashi. What's Mechabda? What's Mechabda? Put up a plaque for her? So Rashi in Sanhedrin, Mechabda, Miltachit Ibnoy. That's a real problem. I mean, you all makbid to bring your wife presents regularly? Mechabda means once in your life when doing Sheva Bochur, every 50th anniversary. So he says, tells you, but no one wants to teach. He says, yeah, look, you're mechuyev to bring presents to your wife. To show kavod to your wife, you bring tachshit and noim. Why is this less of a halacha de rabbanan like, have we seen any other halacha de rabbanan? Look at the same gemara occurs in Yevamos, in the bottom of the Amud, right? Add a few more. There. But then I found something hidden. Only because, again, we taught Sanhedrin and there aren't too many good shul on Sanhedrin. If you look any place, there's a Rishon Rabban. He's on the blot, so you have to take a look at him. Look at the Rabban. There's a different shot. I gotta know what the Mechabda is. So Rashi says, Mechabda is what the Mechabda is. Bring a present. Right? But he says takshitin. Takshitin means jewelry, little knickknacks, right? He said, Ahoy, Vasisha Kugufo, Vamachabda Bilavushim Yosem Igufo. He says, no. He holds kavod is the same halacha of simcha on Yom Tov. That by Isha, the Godim Shivonim, right? It's called, it's something special. That's Mechabda. So when you pay $200 for your suit, your wife should pay $250 for her dress. But you have Mechabda Bilvushim Yosem Migufo. So why do you have to tell us what to do? I know pretty much what I mean. Treat your wife nicely, take her out for dinner, a lot of things you can do. So I found the Maseches Kala. Not a direct Rahe. And that's why I brought Maseches Kala. If you have it, there. Right, before it says Braisa. Oh, you have it? Before it says, okay. Yeah, you have the page there, right on the first column. Look at the end of the first column. It says, my kavod. You have a definition, dictionary definition. You all have it? The bottom of the first column in the Maseches Kala. Column says, my kavod, he says, Abba Belev. I'm sorry. My Abba, my kavod. Abba is the lev. I love my wife. Kavod is the maxim, and kavod is the maxim. Ubi dvorim lo. That's how you read it. Ubi dvorim lo. Basanya bedaber betorah b'tirachom emelo chelik olam abo. If you talk against, meaning you are abusive in your language, you lose olam abo. Emo ab bedvorim. Okay. So now I got a muffler, so went to the next topic. That kavod means what? Kavod means buying presents, letting her buy more expensive clothes than you. Mr. Mechabda Yosem Igufo, more than you, right? And now you have kavod is how you talk to her. These are dictionary definitions now. Dibul, oh no, Dibul is also kavod. Okay? So you look for Dibul. And Dibul you have here. A fabulous insight that Chazal had here. I brought you the first one of the Molombov Messiah. Lowly Yodam Zor Bono Atishto. You have it? Daphnun Telson Ralph. Smitov said the Mosul Mitsuyo Onosho Kovo. Here, Ono means anguish. You can't make a wife cry. And then the Chazal saw in, right after that, what's the, remember there is Yesh Seder the Mishnah. There's in one Omid certainly is a Seder. Right? What's a Seder? Yom Shekhova Metamigdosh Ninelu Sharek Sila. but not Shari Gmos. Lo Ninlu Shari Gmos, Shenemar Shimot Losi Hashem, the Shavosi Hazina, and if you won't listen to my prayers, El Demosi Al Techa, you can't be silent when you see me cry. What's the time to in here? Adam Zobon Sisto. Let you know what we're talking about. That Kodesh Baruch Hu sees your wife cry. And Kodesh Baruch Hu warned you how to treat to us. I gave you a chava, em kolchoi, right? I gave it to lechayim below the tzar nasati. And you went ahead and took my matana and did that to it. What I'm saying is, the tears of a woman are a prosecuting attorney. There are kategel in front of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And we'll see the Gemara teach that lahalocha. If you skip to the Gemara in Ksubis that some of these on the days. We'll come back to the Gemara I gave you in Tainus. Tells a terrible story. And here I left out a motto, what we call a Hungarian recipe. Good again, recipes. That's why he's not there, but I'll give it to you. Terrible story. Right? Rav Chumi was a Talmud of Chava. Right? In Lechuza. Every Erev Yom Kippur, he always came home. Yom Chada Meshachtei Shmaitei. One time, Erev Yom Kippur, he got lost in the studies carried him away, right? Have a mesakia devisu hashtaosi. And his wife, waiting for him to come home, kept on saying to somebody, the children, he's coming. Lo asa. He didn't show up. Came too late to come, he couldn't leave. Elgin Kippur. Cholaj daite. Ochis de mosa me'ene. A tear dropped from her eye. Rabbi Yosef Beigra, Rabbi Chumi was sitting on a parapet on a porch or something. Ifkas Igra mitusei benoch nafshe. The porch collapsed and he was killed because his wife cried. Koshari demos and all. So Rav Chaim asks, so now she's happy? Oh, he got punished? Now he won't come home at all. The Chacham, before he come home, after Yom Kippur, what did God do? You have to ask any more. God came to defend the honor of the wife. So what did he do? He didn't come home on time, so he killed him. Now she's happy, I think, settled in their family. From Chaim Asakasha, in the Sifas Musa, Tovshin Lamed Aleph, right? In the Musa entitled Ben Odom LaChaver Ben Odom LaMokom, right? He brings on the Gemara Ksubis Samar Beis Rav Chumi. Listen to this language. Mikan lamadnu shahonesh al chetz Ben Odom LaChaver eino kedei nesapek et hanifga. It's not in order to what? To recompense, to satisfy the one who was hurt. In the case of Rabbi Chumi, Hareza Onesh Godol, Shadhi Sovlo Mimeno Yosef Mikulam. The wife is the greatest sufferer now. Her husband died, what did God do? Right? Sherei Alichol Kal, Hezila Dima, because he was a little bit late, she cried,
ובוכה דמור סיזי לקשר עובדה את אישו לגמרי. And when she won't cry when she finds out that he's dead? Listen to this language. Unbelievable. Only Rav Chaim could say this. Ela, ha-pegia bein odam lachavero, hi eisho chelis, hala shaleach yad nitwa ba'esh, lo bitur onesh, ela kechok, tivi umitsiusi. If the man jumped off the parapet and got killed, you know, he got killed, how come he got killed? So he jumped off the parapet. Natural law. He died by natural event. Nothing, not a onus to defend the woman. She cried. A tear from a wife's eye causes the death of her husband. Simple. God can do anything. If God doesn't change natural law, he doesn't change that Torah. The Elohim is immutable like that, and Hashem is immutable. Part of natural law is you make your wife cry, you drop dead. You try to teach it that way for a few years, and someone will make a wife cry. But I don't know how else Rav Chaim would say such a thing. No kasha. Now it makes perfect good sense, right? Again, the language is unbelievable. It is, you suck your hand into a fire, hasher yad nitva beish, you put your hand in the fire, you get burnt. Lo bitur onesh, ela tukhok tivi umitsiusi. It's just natural law, that's what happens. And the two other Makovos that I found personally meaningful. The Gemara and Tainus. Tamil Mask, Abad Barabo, who lived a long time, who lived close to 180 years. Bameh Harachte Yomim, Amalahem, the Yomai Lord Spadati Bisobesi. I think that's also natural law. And we'll see when I drive a point home. You know why I lived long? Someone say I lived long. You know why? I eat tofu. I eat yogurt. I always exercise. He gave him a natural reason for it. He says, you know why? Because my home was always a refuge for me. I'm in the Besnevlish. You yell at people. All kinds of terrible shilas come. And you're saddened. I come home, I release tension. Home was never a tension spot. That's shut. You know why? It's natural law. Just like your mind's natural law. You live long. If you can release tension regularly, imagine coming home from wherever you are, and home is no tension. I found a raya to this shot. Right? This one here, the Rambam. Is the Rambam here too someplace? Yeah, the Rambam, you can find it in Hilchos Tishrei Tes Vav, right? And we'll go back to the other colors too, and Halacha Yutet Tzivu Chachamim Shiodam Bachabed Es Ishto Yosef Ligufo Ve'ova Kigufo. By the way, you notice how the Rambam switched around the sequence. All the most quote is always the what? Ovo kugufo, umachabdo yosem migufo. Right? Other machabdo yosem migufo, ovo kugufo. Right? That's because the Rambam, after the Chila got it, actions lead to thoughts. Not only thoughts lead to actions. If you're machabed yosha yosem migufo, you're careful to remember to love of the gufo. But if you're not Machabe Yosef, which is Bechmabdo, like the Sechas Kala said, the Masim, you act that way, then you feel that way. You feel that way, therefore you act that way. I don't feel that way, so I don't act that way. If you keep on acting that way, you get to feel that way. But listen to this language. The Gibur Imu Benachas, Lo Yeragzon, I understand. Don't yell at her. Lo Yerotze, what do you want from me? I have depression. I'm depression. I'm on Prozac. That's none of your wife's business. You keep your depression to yourself. It's a sibu chachamim, it's a din rabbanim. You can't bring your depression home. Want to be depressed? You have a secretary. Be depressed by your secretary. If you come home, I don't expect you to come on part safe. How do you control that? And people have come, they have commands, right? This gives a whole different achayus now. Also defines what the home atmosphere is. It's where Elohim is poverty, it's where I'm not otseg. That's why you ma'arech yom. Look at the Gemara and Shabbos, which also needs shot. Again, Baruch Hashem, that Rav Lam pays me a salary for teaching. I'm compelled to teach, so you pick up some wonderful things. Rome says that he learned in the yeshiva. In Sefer Shabbos, Rav Lam Adalit, a Mishnah. You say it every Friday night to those who daven in the Ashkenazi Jewish genetic disease Chabulis. Right? You say Bama Matikin. Gimu Gavorim Sochodam Loma with a base of Shabbat Hashefa. Right? Comes the Gemara says, the Sorach of Memra bin Yechusa. Ke'echra de la Kabla Minei. And when you say, you ask your wife, did you give myself go light the candles? Say it gently. What's this next Amar Rashi? Ano lo shimili. I never heard this halacha. Hod rabba baravune. The kiyamti misfora. I think not myself. You shouldn't yell at your wife. What's Rabbi Asher adding? Lord, too, and just say it quickly. What does it say? I did it misfora. That's why my personality. But it's no longer Svara, it's not halacha. Whether I like it or not, I have to talk to them. When it's Svara, so I can say, I came home, I'm not in such a good mood. Lo Shemili means I didn't hear the Braise. Lo Shemili, I never spoke to Rosh Hashanah, I never heard that Braise. Now I know I'm in trouble. Now I don't have a choice. I'm not doing it as an Eina Metzuvah V'yoseh. Now I got to do it as a Metzuvah V'yoseh, because it's a Takonis Chachomim. No different Takonis like any other Takonis Chachomim. See, you watch that language again? On the Rabashi, Ano lo shmili means I didn't hear that as a halacha. I did it Hod Rabba Baravun, I did only misvora. Now I know it's not a svora anymore. Now it became a halacha. Now I have to do that. That's emphasizing that it's not just advisory on the part of Rabba Baravun. You made a takona, accept a takona, so according to Breitzer now, you have to behave that way. I'm running out of time. But new people. Then the last point. The most difficult one to justify how it could happen. That's physical abuse. Want to talk about verbal abuse? After you learn those gemaras, you say something to make your wife cry. Go ahead and talk to her in a way that's not proper. You violate takonas chachamim of kavod. You violate halacha of lema b'nechusa. And you have simple halachas. And here I won't go into the sociology of was there ever a time when body language was acceptable. We teach halacha the way it is, halacha l'maisa. Yeah. You find the kolos, you find in the Shulchan Aruch, the one I gave you, there, you find there a shikul machlokes, which has to be justified on sociological grounds, that maybe when people got married, when they marry a girl when she's 11 years old or 12 years old, maybe there are some had paid them for something. But here's the halacha. This is halacha is the way it is today. That's a binding halacha. Number one, you hit a wife, you're over on a lab, you get malchus. Same portion. It's eating a chazah and hitting a wife is the same halacha. Same severity of injury. No difference. That's halacha. A what? Lo Yosef, la koso, right? There, the Esau that says you can't hit a Roshe one extra Malkus, right?
When they come here, we learn, the mother says, Madaka Roshi, you can't hit. Certainly you can't hit anybody. Plain, simple, lift your hand, Merem Yad Nikro Roshi. Right? As Moshe said, Roshi Olam Sake Reyecha. And the Shulchan Aruch, Choshev Mishpat, quotes like anything else. Also, the Adam Lahakos Kaveiro, the Miko over Balav, Shenema, Pen Yosef, the Mikpida Torah, Hakos Roshi, etc., etc. And then comes the Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezra, and Hilchot Gittin. The Chayin Ish, Sharogo, Lichos, Rahotzi, Ishim, Ibeso, Chokonos, Rahotzi, and if you get the Tzuba, Ish, Hamake, Ishto, Averi, Biyodo, Kamake, Chaveiro, the Rogo, Lubatach, Yesh, Biyadbezu, Yasso, Rahimo, Rahotzo. And Dr. Green said, I couldn't find the motto for it, but sent this motto in the Rama Wittenberg, which if taken literally, huh? You can do a Saudi Arabian kind of a thing. Right? You remove his hand. It gets a more difficult next time to hit. Right? At least he won't hit her with his hand. He may kick her, but he won't make the hit her with his hand anymore. What's halacha? Rambam says, there's Hamake Sishto Mikublani Sheish Lachmabo Yosem Mimakas Kavero V'derach HaGoyim Bekach Chalila V'chalila Rishum Ben Bris Masel Zos Ha'osa Yesh Lachimo L'Nadoso L'Alkoso L'Onsho. Right? The up, look with your other. And then, of Yom Kippur, and as I was doing in this house, make sure we learn Shah Rabin Yonah. You see that it was of some concern that among the things that have been a list that need correction in Am Yisrael, right? Yesh Hazaros, Shei Mitzvah Haman Shomim Ikyo Hazaros, Shamak Yachavei Ra'u B'Shnei Lavim, Abom Yaken, right? The Rabim Obrim Ala Lovim Ha'ela Ba'Kos Nishoseyim, V'yom Rabba Seinu, Kalamel Yod Al Chavero, right? Nikra Roshem, right? Therefore, Omer Rabba Nazar, Rav Hune Kotsa Tziar Hamake, that's where the Rabim Wittenberg got the heter for such a thing, right? There, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right. But you see from here that it was a problem of family abuse, one that the Rabbi Yonah had to list as Yesh Azoros She'ein Nixos Ha'homon Shomrim Ikra Azoros. There's a sub set of our society, he says, that are allowing themselves these things. I recall the first time I was in Russia, went to visit a relative of my shvigas, and she, this relative was a doctor, whatever the level doctor they have in Russia. It was a practicing physician, and her husband was a war hero. He lost an arm in one of the wars there, and wore on his pajamas, wore his medals. Okay, so you know the type. In the middle of a conversation, was sitting around the table. In the middle of a conversation, he said, she said something, he reached over and gave her a thrust across the face. And she didn't even respond. It's not a normal way of communicating or something. There may be such a subset of society, not our society. There are red lines you can't pass. I tell you in my own Rabbonus, it's a rarity. I had it only twice in Rosh Hashanah, 35 years of Muncie. I had twice cases of physical abuse, one only relatively recently. And I made the wife file a criminal charge against her husband. But I won't meet them until she filed the criminal charge, have it on the docket. Now I'll stop meeting with them. Met with them, yeah, sent them off to counseling. I'm the best marriage counselor for one session. Yeah. Sent them off, work with them. But that the only way you ever make progress is to know the Chaymer Yisra. It's not a thing, I'm sorry it happened, that can happen. That passed the red line. There's no way. The consequence has to come, as Rav Chaim said, the absolute consequence, natural law. You hit a person, it's a criminal act in America, it's a criminal act up here, Torah, right? Therefore, you file a criminal charge. Well, they're not going to put it in jail yet, right? You don't press the charge.
but you file a criminal charge. Then you can start. Then I guarantee you, if it's the first time, you'll have success. It'll never happen again. If the marriage will survive whatever other stresses there are, the marriage will be okay. There is much more that should be said on this opinion, but I've run out of time, and I'm sure the people here can add to it. I hope not to subtract too much, because I didn't say any of my own flaws. Everything is source material. And Yirtzeh Hashem, it's a situation that certainly a Rav has to be sensitive to. In our own town, we have now, I mentioned before, and sitting around the table, we have now a shelter. The shelter is largely used by non-Jews. We have very few Jews there at any time. I'm sorry, very few Fum Jews there at any time. During the year, last year, there were only 5 cases of women who had to be led into the shelter. But we have a very nice system, which I didn't mention. We have a system of safe houses for people who don't want to go to a shelter. There was no physical abuse. There was really only verbal abuse, degradation, over and the woman had it. And she got to get out and think through what her life is like and what's going to be. We have 4 houses of families, mature, with the children left already, they're all married, live elsewhere. And they have accommodations in a basement, a very nice apartment. And they're willing to take a woman up to 4 weeks, no charge, as their chesed there. We have 4 such houses there. It doesn't have the same advantage security of being in a little more distant or something, but we don't tell anybody which house, where these safe houses are. And we have 1 woman full time, paid for by the local government, called the Tikva Project by us, which is assigned only to deal with home women. She's trained in family abuse, a counselor. And Boshem, I'm not involved in these cases directly, but I hear that there's great success in the verbal abuse cases in which the women are then counseled by this one woman and often sent off if they are from well-to-do homes. She doesn't charge, sent off to professional counselors that she knows are competent to handle such cases. And it is an approach that can be used in any community, because the idea of setting up a separate accommodation for full women, usually the idea doesn't reach fruition because of the financial burden that's involved. To set up a separate house means with people in attendance 24 hours a day, etc., becomes financially untenable. But this derech seems to be a successful one.
Okay. Rabbi Chevalier, thank you very much. We have another speaker, and then the time is really very short. I'm really very pleased to hear how simple the whole matter is. If these words could be distributed to Rabbanim and communities, and especially Dayanim and Batei Din, the issue of Mesira, for example, which you alluded to when you didn't have any problems with, in my experience, has been a very significant problem with many Rabbanim. And this type of presentation needs to be very, very widespread. It's my pleasure at this time to introduce to you Rabbi Dr. Wallace Green of the Midrashah Institute of Adult Jewish Studies. Again, I won't take from his time introducing you to him. Let's turn it to him.
Before Rabbi Kendall leaves, let me just interject that the selection of Mara Makomos that both of these gentlemen had submitted to Rabbi Dratch, and then Rabbi Dratch is working on these Mara Makomos in order to get it to us in a form that was reproducible and well done. It requires a special Yasher Koach, and I want to do it now before Rabbi Kendall left or Rabbi Dratch is in chat.
Yasher Koach, it's also be valuable to have him visible.
I'll just make a few broad comments on some of the practical aspects of of the issue. Just to support some of the things that Rav Tendler was saying, the fact that we don't educate and there's a flaw in the system. A number of years ago, Rav Moshe Bick Zatzal came out with a public declaration about this very fact, that we were not educating our yeshivalite into their responsibilities as husbands. The yeshiva system has failed because he's decided too many gittin, and he was roundly trounced in the frum press. How could you be choshe the yeshiva system? But in fact he was, and another goda like Rav Bick was forced to retract the statement. You know, under the most severe calumny that I hadn't seen since Rav Moshe issued his psak on artificial insemination. But great gedolim sometimes take stances, and sometimes it's difficult to maintain it. It's similar, and with that I'll just many years ago, when you went to smicha, you had an oral bechina. Going back a long time now, you have to go before Rav Shatzkis, Rav Belkin, and the Rav, which is a very intimidating thing, and you have to know every shach and taz by heart. And a lot of people had nervous breakdowns actually before, because it was a very intimidating experience. Talking about in your 30s and the 40s, and at some time later, someone mentioned to the Rav that a lot of the fellows didn't know Nida and Mikvolis well, because the Smicha read Boki Bechelak Aleph and Hilchas Treifus, which they used to learn at one time, and Nida and Mikvolis all worked on the Smicha. And he couldn't believe that men learning for Smicha didn't know Nida and Mikvolis. So he called a couple of boys in and he asked them some simple shilas about Nida and Zava, and he found to his consternation that they really didn't know all the halachas of Nida. So why you resolve the situation by taking Nida Mikvolis off the Smicha? To this day, I imagine. But I think the point of that is that the educational process is very important, and if it doesn't begin in the yeshivas, at least among our chaverim, we can be aware of the issues. Because I think from the practical point of view, not just in the abstract, Rabbanim have a major role to play in a Makas HaMadina that is becoming, unfortunately, more and more prevalent. Just to relate to the very last comment about Moser that was mentioned before, at the annual lecture on Jewish medical ethics that the Orthodox scientists give at Lincoln Square last year, I think it was 2 years ago, Reb Herschel Paskin is very similar to Rav Tendler, that filing charges and turning a person over to the authorities who beats his wife is not at all in the geder of Moser, and he was very much in favor of it. In the little pamphlet that I handed out, I just listed some of the Mari Makomos to indicate the problem and some of the resolutions to that problem. The problem is that there is among Rishonim, among some Achronim, a leniency or a tolerance for basically educating or disciplining one's wife physically. And I'm not saying that anybody encourages it, but certainly you are allowed to instruct your wife by beating her, and in some cases the Rambam says, which is a contradiction to what we just learned about the Rambam, even with a stick you can beat your wife. This is a very difficult makoros to deal with. The Ran and Ketubas talks about using a whip on your wife. The Rambam Hilchos Ishas Perakop Alef Halacha Yud says with a stick. The Rosh Ba elsewhere talks about sure you can force a person to give a get, but we can't really stop a person from beating his wife. The Radvaz again says more than that, you don't even force him to give a get. He beats his wife. The Tumat HaDeshen says it's okay for educational purposes once in a while to smack your wife. And the Marshal, Yamshal Shlomo, very difficult Marshal, says you can beat her Achetei Se Nafsha. That's part of the problem. Now, I don't think that those individuals in the Jewish community, frum or otherwise, who beat their wives, look for heterim. I don't think they looked among these Rishonim. It's unfortunately symptomatic of certain segments in society. The Gemara in Pesachim says very clearly that it's a characteristic of an Amoret to beat your wife. On the other hand, we find the leniency for spousal abuse most marked among the Sephardic poskim, among the Ashkenazim, beginning in the generation after Rabbi Ner Gershom, the Maram, and later, there was very, very strong opposition in the strongest language you can imagine. The Yasro, Lahakoso, put him in Nidoi, exiled him. I mean, if a person, because as the Rivet, right on the Rambam says, this is not a Jewish characteristic. The Lashon of the Rivet, which we'll get to in a moment, says that people who do this, this is not a Jewish characteristic. I just want to go through a few halachos, because we should do it in a halachic framework, and then give some practical suggestions for people in the field. The Shulchan Aruch, very clearly, in Hilchos Kovel, the Chaveiro, Hoshe Mishpat, Tav Chof, Otsu L'Odom L'Hakos Chaveiro, they may call over the law, as I've mentioned before. And anybody who does this is considered a Russian. So, alachas kama v'kama, an individual includes a woman as well, but there's a separate section of dinim that deal with hitting your wife elsewhere in Eben Ezer. The Shulchan Aruch deals with habal shechov al b'ishto. You have to pay full tashlum. The actual lashon from the Rambam, which I'll read to you, which is a difficult Rambam, and I don't have an answer for it, unless you want to simply say this was echoing the Quran, which encourages this type of behavior. Kol isha shetimona milasos melocha min hamelochos shechayeves lasoson. If your wife doesn't do what she's supposed to do, normal wifely chores, kofenosa the osa. You can force her to do it. Afilu bashot the stick. The rabbi right away says, "Me'olam lo shamati yisur shotim lenashim." This is not a Jewish trait, and this is echoed among many, many Rishonim as well. But one of the things that the Rambam does say, which is echoed time and again in the Ramah, in Darkei Moshe, and other Rishonim, he points out that should there be a situation where, because of strife between husband and wife, there is hitting, there is squabbling, Moshivim Isha Beinehem Oshkenim. And this is the key phrase. You Bezdin has to appoint somebody to investigate. In other words, what we call today intervention. Not every rabbi is a trained social worker necessarily. But intervention is called for here in the Rambam. It's called for in Beis Yosef, in the Mechaber, Darkei Moshe, and other places. When there's a you have to see who is at fault. And if the woman says she has been beaten and it's her husband's fault, she is Naaman. The Chazal recognized that takes a great deal of woman to come and admit this. Talk a little bit more about that later. The Beis Yosef and the tour, Tuchos Ksubos Ayin Dalet, he says, Ein Labal Lahakos Velanos Ishto, Velachayin Nitna. But you shouldn't. The imtaan shehi mikalal loso, and if he says that I have a right to hit her because she insulted me, she insulted my parents, and you have a category, by the way, which is a very strange category in halacha, of makin et ha'isha shelo kedin, implying that there are legitimate reasons to hit your wife. But if he says that she deserves it, bezin chokrin mehashchenim mihagorin. Again, the notion of Rabbanim getting involved for intervention to determine who was at fault and to try to resolve it. There's a very difficult Ramah in Ebenezer. He starts off in Hilchos Gittin Kuf Nun Dalet. Ish hamake ishto aveir hi biyado kemake chaveir. Okay, if you hit your wife, it's as if you're hitting another chaveir, of course, over in Allah. And he also says, Eino miderech b'nei Yisrael ahakos nishto sehem. Umase kusim. Not a Jewish trait. You don't hit your wife. But then Darke Moshe goes on. Yesh omrim d'mutol ha'kosa. He quotes the Yesh omrim that it's okay to hit your wife. V'yesh omrim afilu isha ro'a osro ha'kosa. And then there are others who say even a woman who deserves it, isha ro'a, it's osro. That's for Rishona he ikar. That's for Rishona that it's mutar is ikar. Difficult Darke Moshe. But again, I don't know if the people who do this look into the Torah Shulchan Aruch for a rationale. However, again, he continues the important notion of intervention. Im eina yodua mi hagorem ein habal neman lo marjihi hameschelas shekol hanoshim becheskas kashrus umoshivim beinehem acheros liros bishol miharazos. The woman is believed. She comes forth and says that she's indeed. In no rav today, I hope, would say that it's permissible for one to beat one's wife. We're beginning to see tshuvos that are taking a very strong stand against it. Rosh Yoshev Kohn, Tis Eliezer, Tis Kedin Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. And I don't want to get involved in the area of Piske Halacha concerning Havkos Kiddushin or Bittel Kiddushin or things of that sort that Rafendra alluded to, but I would suggest that you take a look at Igros Moshe, Ebenezer, Chelak Aleph, Tshuva Pei, not Ayin Test, but Pei, and also Chelak Gimel in Ebenezer of Igros Moshe, Mem Vav and Mem Dalet, where Rav Moshe had interesting Piske Halacha in terms of somebody who beat his wife. I'm not going to say any more on that. Let me just indicate how I got involved in this, and I'll conclude because I know it's late. In our community, we have something called Project Rachel, where there are people on call 24 hours a day, an 800 number, for assistance in terms of spousal abuse. And generally speaking, if you speak to anybody who deals with this professionally, they will tell you that when a woman comes forth and says she's been beaten, it's generally not the first time it's happened. It takes a very long time for a woman to admit that the marriage is finished, that there's no love, and that she's been beaten, especially when there are children involved. It's very difficult. It happens more and more often in the religious community, especially in the very frum communities happening. Most of the information much of the information comes from the mitzvah women who see the bruises, and Rabbonim have a need to be more proactive in this. We have Project Rachel cards distributed in the ladies' rooms of every synagogue, of every catering hall in our community, and we've gotten many phone calls. The tremendous sense of busha that women have is eliminated with an anonymous phone call. We do have, at the community's expense, a Shomer Shabbos and Kosher safe house in the community, because the only other residence or safe house of battered women is in downtown Newark, and it's just inappropriate for some of the women in our community to go there. So there is a woman on duty. The facilities are available. The obligation, I think, for Rabbonim exists on several levels. And if you don't know enough about it, talk to someone who does. In most communities, you have a Jewish family service or somebody who specializes in this unfortunate Makos Medina. If somebody comes to you and says she's been beaten or abused, believe it. So it's a tremendous amount of courage for the woman to come forth and say that. Become educated. learn about the statistics of Jewish domestic abuse. Learn how to respond. Learn who to refer people to in your community. The very last page in the little handout gives you some places where you can call for information and get statistics, but I would start with your own Jewish family service in your community. Go public about the issue. Invite guest speakers, devote a drasha to it, review books on the subject. There are a number of very fine books on it. Build coalitions through rabbis of all different denominations. This is an area where we can deal with our co-religionists without any problem. Distribute information, cards, and so forth. Offer premarital counseling, postmarital counseling, in terms of communication between husband and wife. And again, not every rav is a trained marriage counselor. Learn, as Rabbi Kendall did, to whom you can refer somebody. And by the way, the Jewish Family Service in most communities is very interested in working with the frum community. If you would just get involved and tell them what the issues are, because counseling a frum couple is very different than counseling a non-frum couple. I got involved only because the Jewish Family Service in our community wanted to get the rabbis more active. We have 50 or 60 synagogues, and they wanted the rabbis to become more proactive in dealing with this issue, which is unfortunately spreading. So I delivered a shiur to all the rabbonim in the rabbinic cabinet, and we made presentations to some of the lawyers who devote pro bono time, and the federation, which gave us a grant to put together this safe house. Establish Jewish support services in your community for those who need it, and have a list of referrals available in terms of the attorneys in your community and the counselors that can provide these types of services. Unfortunately, as we become more involved in society, we adopt many of the machlos of society. Domestic violence is only one area indicating the difficulty of contemporary life. I don't have to tell you, people have frustrations over money, people have frustrations over their jobs, people are angry, you don't know who to strike out at, and very often it's the woman who suffers. There are many case histories. The woman who was supposed to be here to speak to you this morning is a survivor of an abusive relationship. She has gone on to counsel many women in New York. She speaks Yiddish, so very often hospitals call her to deal with people from the frum community. And her husband gave her a get because he was convinced that it was in his best interest to do so. I'll leave it at that. The civil settlement has not yet been determined, and when she went to court last week to set a date for that, her attorney advised her not to speak publicly on the issue because she is pressing charges, and this guy will probably be put away for a while, I hope. But if there are women in your community who have survived these type of relationships, it's important to get them to be a resource, if they're willing to do so, to talk to others, because the biggest tragedy for a woman who comes forth is to say, try harder, Shalom bayis. And that's a very difficult thing to do, because if she comes forward already, as I mentioned before, it's not the first time it's happened, and therefore she has to believe, as the Rambam points out and the Rambam says, they are ne'emun. A woman comes forward, she's the cheskas ne'emunus, that this is a problem that's been going on for a while. So hopefully this is a problem that will diminish, but if it doesn't, it's not Hilchos Adon Mashiach. It's real, it's here, and we have to become more educated in terms of dealing with it, because unfortunately it has come to the fore. And I thank you for your time.
We thank you very much, and we thank everyone for their participation. I think we're running late, and it's time to begin the next.
We'll take just a 1 minute break. We ask everyone to stay here. Start in just 1 minute, and we'll take the break that we're going to have. We'll take that before lunch as part of the lunch break. Continue with a topic of a little happier tone, what we can do with the teens in our community. That's on one
Thank you.